It's good to be back with you all. We had a good week in Worcester, Ohio, last week in the gospel meeting. It was good to see several brethren that we've known for many, many years, about three decades, I guess you might say. But it's been 13 years since I was at the Burbank Road congregation in a meeting. So it was good to be back with them, and they expressed that they appreciated the lessons and the thoughts from God's Word that I brought with me. I want to thank Jonathan for taking the sermon last Sunday. And we are blessed here to have so many that not only are able and very talented to teach the Word of God, but are anxious to do it, and we're thankful for that. And they'll be getting the opportunity to do so again. I think I'm here till the last Sunday in March, or the last Sunday in May, May. Yeah, that's the way it goes. Last Sunday in May, and then the first Sunday in June will be in a meeting too. So 2 weeks back-to-back again for me. But and then I think I'm off for a little while. I don't know. I haven't even looked at my fall schedule yet. But I think I have a few. This morning, I want us to consider 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, where it says, "Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? Test yourselves to see whether you are in the faith." That's important that you recognize that. It's not a faith. No, test yourself to see whether you are in a faith or whether you have some faith. There is a standard of faith that we are to recognize and be in, as he says here, be in this faith. It is that which is in Christ Jesus, that Jesus is in you unless indeed you fail the test. There is a test. We can examine ourselves. We can look at Christ and what he taught us to do, and we can say, "I'm doing that. I'm doing all of it to the very best of my ability, or I'm not." Examine yourselves. And if you're not in the faith, then get in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. Sometimes when we examine things, we examine things a little bit closer than what we do. This isn't just a passing thought. This is something we're to get serious about. So we're to get the magnifying glass out, if you will, and take a look at ourselves and see whether we are in the faith. How's your Bible study? In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13, Paul told Timothy to, "Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." And in 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, the Apostle Peter, by the Holy Spirit, wrote, "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Are you reading the Bible? Examine yourself whether you are in the faith. If we're not reading the Bible, we're not in the faith. Give attention to exhortation, to warning and encouraging, even yourself. The Word of God warns us and encourages us. It reproves us and corrects us and leads us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Give attention to doctrine, to teaching, the doctrine of Christ. 2 John verse 9 says, "Whosoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He that abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. So we cannot be in the faith unless we are practicing the doctrine of Jesus Christ. We cannot be in fellowship with Jesus Christ unless we are practicing the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Are you examining yourselves? Are you passing this test or are you failing the test? And if you're failing the test, we don't point these things out to make you feel bad, just to make you realize where you are and where God wants you to be. God doesn't want anyone to fail the test. He's encouraging all of us to read and give ourselves to exhortation and the doctrine of Christ, not only for our own sake, but as Peter says, so that when someone asks you a question about your hope of salvation and your hope of eternal life, that you're able to give them an answer. Not just an answer of, well, this is what I think and this is what I feel, but an answer of, this is what is written. This is what God said. This is what the doctrine of Christ teaches about the subject, the question that you're asking me. So give attention to reading. Examine your reading. And some time ago we said, give God the first place in your life and in your heart. Give God the first hour of every day. In the first hour of every day, spend time reading God's Word. In the first hour of every day, spend time talking to God, praying to God. How's your prayer life? How are you doing? Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Pray always with all prayer and supplication. We talked about that word supplication before. Supplication is an intense pleading, an intense prayer. It's not a passive prayer. It's not taking God for granted that He hears us and He's going to grant our petition. It is intense. Being watchful to this end. With all perseverance, you're continuing in it. Supplication, there's that intensity once again. For all the saints. Don't just pray for yourself. Pray for all the saints. Philippians 4. Oops, I'm backing up here. I don't want to do that. Punching the wrong button. Computers just do what you tell them to do. Sometimes they take off on their own, but anyway. Philippians 4 and verse 16 says, be anxious for nothing, or don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. God, Jesus, over and over again, as He was here, and even in the Sermon on the Mount, He says, don't worry about tomorrow. You don't even know how bad tomorrow can be. Has worry ever helped you in anything? I mean, we've all worried. I think it's just kind of a natural thing for us to worry. You have to train yourself not to worry. You have to trust God to not worry. Jesus reasoned with us. How many of you can change anything by what you're worrying about? You can't get taller. You can't get richer. You can't get healthier. You can't find a relationship. Worry never helped anything. So don't worry. Worry just holds you back and keeps you from achieving what God wants you to achieve. If you've got something on your mind, cast all your care upon Him because He cares for you. Let your request be made known to God. And as you do, thank Him for the answer. The answer of our prayer is largely dependent upon us being in the faith. That's what this lesson is about. Test yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Do you want God to hear and answer your prayers? Yeah. Well, it's dependent upon whether you are trusting Him and obeying Him. You're practicing the faith that is revealed in His Word. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 2, Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.'" We often emphasize how that when you pray to God, don't take Him for granted. He's not your daddy. We are to revere God. We are to honor Him. Revere His very name. That's what Jesus meant when He said, "Hallowed be thy name." Hallowed be thy very name is to be hallowed. And we talk about that Jesus prayed for the kingdom to come. I don't know if we talk enough about what He says here, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." From the very beginning of this instructional prayer, "Teach us how to pray," Jesus said, is basically saying, when you pray to God, you pray for God's will to be done, not for your will to be done. When you pray to God, you pray that God will be glorified and God will be honored. You pray with God in mind, first and foremost. Pray that God's will be done. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is God's will done in heaven? Shake your heads this way. Yes. Yes, it is. Why? Because the heavenly host revere God and trust Him and obey Him. How is God's will going to be done on earth? Only if we on earth revere Him and trust Him and obey Him. Right? Are you listening? Yes. You say, "Well, I revere God and I trust God and I obey Him," but you know, most people on the earth don't. And that's true. But why don't they? Because they don't know any better. They don't know about the truth about God as it's revealed in this book. They just know what they've heard from somebody. They haven't picked it up and read it and studied it and rightly divided it. They're just going off of what they think and what they feel. God's will cannot be done on earth by what we earthlings feel, because we all feel different things, don't we? And these feelings are contradictory with one another. It's not what God has revealed. God has told us what His will is. If you want your prayers to be successful before God, know the will of God and pray for God's will to be done. James talked about this in James chapter 4 and verse 3. He says, "You ask and do not receive." You pray to God and ask God for things, but you don't receive them because you ask amiss. And this is where you are amiss. You pray that you might spend it on your own pleasures. You're just praying for yourself. This is what I want. This is what I want. Now, if I'm letting my request be made known unto God, there is some element of "this is what I want." But if I'm presenting it to God and asking Him for assistance in that, then I am presenting to Him, "this is what I want, that I might glorify You in it. I want to be healthy so that I can glorify You in my health. I want to be financially okay so that I can glorify You in my finances. I want my loved ones to be healthy. I want the things that we concerned about. But it's to God's glory, not to our glory. You understand that? You might want a new house or a new car. Well, why? Do you need one or do you just want one? Are you going to glorify God with that? God's will be done. Don't ask that you might consume it and spend it on yourself. But you're going to use it to the glory of God. John chapter 15 and verse 7, Jesus says to those who believed on him, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you." Examine your prayer life. Are you in the faith? That's what Jesus is talking about here. If you are in the faith, if my words abide in you, ask what you desire and it will be done. Because why? Because what I desire is that God be glorified, right? It's not that I ask for my own selfish purposes, but I'm going to ask so that God will be glorified. If his words abide in me, then his word has taught me not to live for self, but to live for him and to glorify him. 1 John 3 and verse 22 says, "Whatever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." Examine your prayer life. Is your prayer life successful? You say, "Well, it doesn't seem like I'm getting the things that I'm praying for." Well, are you praying that God's will be done or that yours will be done? Or is the rest of your life in agreement with God? Are you in the faith? Are you trusting and obeying him in every other aspect of your life? Or do you treat God like he's your servant, and when you need something, you just say, "God, give me that." That won't work. That won't work. Examine your personal evangelism. If we want God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, then you and I are responsible for letting his will be known on earth. Mark 16 and verse 15, he said to his apostles, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to every human being." Do you think he meant that? I mean, every human being? And he was telling them to do it without newspapers, without radio and television, without Facebook Live. It was one person to one person. Maybe one person to a group of people like we are here. Go and teach every person the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, when the church was persecuted for believing and practicing the gospel of Christ, they were scattered from Jerusalem. And as they were scattered, it says, "Therefore those that were scattered went everywhere preaching the word." Went everywhere preaching that for which they had been persecuted. Did they think they might be persecuted again? Yeah. Pretty good possibility. We keep teaching this and we keep living this way and people are going to keep persecuting us. But you know what? The only thing that's going to save them is if we teach it and if we set the example of living this way. They went everywhere preaching and teaching the Word of God. Their example in their life, James chapter 2 and verse 14, reasons with us, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith and does not have works? Can faith save him?" Well, I know what the Word of God says. James chapter 1 says, if you hear the Word and don't do the word, you're just deceiving yourself. Just knowing what God wants us to do doesn't save us. It's doing what God wants us to do that puts us in fellowship with Him, as He's made that avenue of fellowship through His Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 18 of James 2 says, someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works. I'll show you my faith by my works. You can't show me your faith without your works. Oh, you can talk about what you think and what you feel and all of that type of stuff, but you can see my faith by what I do and the way that I live. That's what James is saying here. Faith is not faith until it works. You got people in the religious community that debate back and forth, saved by faith, saved by works, and, you know, which one's better. Neither one of them know what they're talking about. Faith isn't faith until it works. That's what James is saying here throughout the book of James. Your faith is not complete. It's not beneficial until it works. If it's not working, it's not faith. Matthew 5 and verse 16, Jesus said it this way, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We need to be teaching the gospel, studying God's word with someone, but they also need to see that we're not hypocrites, that this word of God, this doctrine of Christ, this mantle of faith applies to us first and foremost. They need to see it working in our lives. So as we've noticed, 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Get honest with yourself. Get honest with God. You know whether you're following Him or not. Do you not recognize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? Jesus taught so much about this. John chapter 14 and verse 15, we mention so often, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Are you keeping His commandments? And then he said this in verse 23, if a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Jesus Christ is in you if you are keeping His words, if you are keeping His commandments. Are you doing that? Jesus said, unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sin, John chapter 8. Do you believe that He is the Son of God? He wasn't talking about a mere affirmation of the truth. Yeah, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son. James talks about that. The demons also believe and tremble. The demons believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but they don't serve Him. They're not in the faith. And if you're here this morning, you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you don't serve Him, you're not in the faith, you're in the same position the demons are in. You don't want to be there. God doesn't want you to be there. So what do you need to do? Jesus said in Luke chapter 13, except you repent, you will perish. You need to turn around. You need to turn from your sin, turn from yourself, and follow me, Jesus said. And unless you do that, you're going to perish. in an eternity separated from God and everything that is good. That's why there's no light in hell. That's why it's a place of outer darkness. That's why there's torment in hell, because there's no peace, there's no comfort. The light and peace and comfort and hope, those things come from God, and God is not in hell. Unless you repent, Jesus said, you will perish and be completely separated from God and everything that is good. Forever and ever and ever and ever. Now's your chance to make things right. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. And he said, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. Those on the day of Pentecost, when they were convinced that Jesus of Nazareth was both Lord and Christ, they asked, what shall we do? And the divine answer given by Peter, as he spoke, as the Holy Spirit was giving him the words, was, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. That day, 3,000 souls were baptized. They were added to the body of the saved. And you can be added to the body of the saved today. If you desire to be in the faith and for Jesus Christ to be in you, obey him today. Turn to him, turn from your sin, turn to him, confess him, be baptized for the remission of your sins. And as Jesus would say, abide in my words and you will be my true disciples and you will know the truth. And the truth will make you free. Live in the faith that comes from hearing and practicing the Word of God. If you're subject to the invitation this morning, we'd encourage you to come as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.
Christ our Redeemer died on the cross. Died for the sinner, paid all his due. All who receive him need never fear. Yes, he will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when blood, I will pass over you. Chiefest of sinners, Jesus can save. As he has promised, so he will do. O sinner, hear him, trust in his word. Then he will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Judgment is coming, all will be there, who have rejected, who have refused. O sinner, hasten, let Jesus in, then God will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, what compassion, oh, boundless love, Jesus hath power, Jesus is true. All who obey are saved from the storm. Oh, he will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you.
Sick that we have here that are unable to join us. We pray, dear Lord, that you be with them and those that are traveling. We also petition you upon behalf of those that are terminally sick, dear Lord, and are dealing with diseases that are long term. We pray that that blessing be with them and that you be with the hands that are ministering to them. Dear Lord, we give you thanks for all the many blessings that you bestowed upon us. We pray, dear Lord, that we be mindful that every good and perfect thing comes from you. And if those things be used that we receive in the physical sense here upon this earth to glorify thee, as well as the spiritual ones, dear Lord, as we have learned this morning, to examine ourselves daily, we pray that we use those gifts that you've given us on the spiritual nature to do so, so that we may glorify you in this life and bring others to the realization that you desire obedience.